Cracker Cast, what the fuck? We need a better name than Cracker Cast. Okay, Marcel's plan is we stay here for 4 hours and go over notes. Our plan is to hijack his plan and just have fun with tonight. Free Cracker Cast. So there will be a.
It's too much to say, though. I mean, because the last Cracker Cast went on for 7 hours.
Oh, no, I know. But the Cracker Cast is supposedly doing that Saturday night, I think, is the plan.
Yeah.
Probably starting somewhere around 10 p.m. work for you.
Starting around when?
10 or 11 p.m.
Yeah, that seems about right. Hold on, I'm adjusting my mic.
Okay, yeah, we'll figure out the exact time to make it goes on. However, if we go on, whatever goes after a certain time frame today isn't going to get published on YouTube before we do that. My week's nuts.
Okay.
So, it's like...
Yeah, I got to announce Cracker Cast. You know what, though? Most of the people that were there for the last Cracker Cast, I don't even see them on YouTube anymore. I don't even know if they're around, so we'll have to see.
It's like nobody show up. It'd just be like five of
them. Oh, I'll get some from YouTube and all that, but a lot of the old clan, because we used to hang out on Skype a lot until I got really busy, and then life...
Yes, you are exceedingly busy these days. It's like we email you and we wait around, and then like 20 minutes before you're supposed to show up or not show up, more often than not you say, I'm going to need to work on Saturday, and you're going to have to...
That's because life has last-minute changes, man. When you have 3 kids... And just stuff going crazy.
Life changes every minute.
That's right. Believe me, my folks get fed up with it because it's hard to stick with plans. So there's just so much stuff comes up. It was when I had emailed you that night. There was so much chaos going on already in the house, and we were drying the whole leveling cement and all that crap, and it. By the time I had finished moving other furniture around, it was, 11:02 or something? And I was like, oh, crap. I had just remembered I needed to, you know, find a way to email you. And that's why it went off that way.
So, anyways, this. You said that George Lucas is finishing destroying Star Wars?
Well, first came out with Kinect Star Wars. That pretty much helped out on that. I mean, I just love watching my childhood get raped. I'm watching Han Solo do the boogie down.
The what? Boogie down? What?
For Kinect.
Yeah.
The Star Wars game where essentially it's just a mini game of dancing.
I gave up on Star Wars. Honestly, with the first prequel. I sat in line. I never...
Now, prequels I could forgive. It's when I added all those god-awful CG scenes to the post-rolls and... They CG'd the only freaking scene in the entirety of Star Wars where the guy who didn't know his voice was being replaced by James Earl Jones is actually seen in fullness without a bunch of crap on it. And they CG'd that out.
Yeah. Instead, we get Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. And it's just, you know that guy? I know he's dead now, but... That poor guy has been abused by more ways by George Lucas than...
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Where they add the new scene in the Blu-ray editions of the Return of the Jedi.
I forgave all of that. And I didn't really care about the pre-sequels, but I did hate 3 things about the pre-sequels that I think a lot of you agree with, like Jar Jar Binks. God, everybody hated him.
No, how's a me gonna hate him?
He was like a stoned rabbit talking Jamaican.
Anyways,
or a rabbit on meth. And the other one was... Oh yeah, the little kid. Gotta hate that little kid. The one who played Anakin on the first movie? That was a piss poor choice right there.
You know, I didn't care, and everybody has made fun of that guy.
Well, like,
can you imagine the poor people who were his dorm mates, because by the time, I mean, he was in college by the time, people were still ragging him, but then,
well, it's like he was like, what, 12 or something? Or 9?
I don't even remember.
And he's going to have a future love interest, which was Anna Paquin, who was like 17. There's a big
issue. That's what you obsess over. Hi, a kid's got a woman when he's a kid. Oh, who cares?
No, it's not just that. It's just, and then they got to the really stupid scene when they said, why won't you initiate him as a Jedi? And he goes, he's too young. And it's like, when do you bring these people in? But when they're nothing more than an egg and a sperm?
Don't worry about it. You must know, Taiwan, when one has a mind that is made up and learned, one is too old.
But as far as the rest of the pre-sequels, I was fine with part two, except maybe watching Jar Jar Binks giving emergency powers to Palpatine. But that just meant we can all blame it all on Jar Jar now. Thank God. But the rest of it was, I was fine with the other two pre-sequels.
Anyways, so what, if anything, do we want to talk about?
Well, we can, I guess, get a little fun.
You brought the Google Drive back up. Why?
Well, because it was in the news today again, and my colleague was talking to me about it and couldn't believe they were charging $50 a year and all this other stuff. So, oh well, we don't have to talk about it.
I have a question. Would you rather pay for that service, or would you rather it be free like all the other Google services where they supplement it by advertising? Because given what it is, I'm not sure I'd want that being supplemented by advertising.
No, he's a Dropbox user and uses the free without the whole ads and stuff. Then Microsoft SkyDrive. How much is SkyDrive anyway?
Oh, you get 7 gigs free.
That's a lot, actually.
And I don't remember after that.
Is it cloud again? Cloud storage?
It's cloud storage, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some cloud storages will make it, others won't. I mean, I can't put a video game on there and then run that game off of the cloud hard drive onto my own hard drive.
You can if you get last mile to your house.
Well.
Which we're trying. We're desperately trying.
I try that little free trial of OnLive at my place, and it does work here.
Why don't you just run it on a server?
Run what?
Like host a game on a server and have everybody come in.
It doesn't work that way. They all need the drives, and there are still people in homes. Pretty much, I think over 70%, or is it like 56, close to 60% or something like that? They're still using 56K modems.
Yeah, well, I know exactly what that is.
6K modems, my goodness.
No. I know exactly what that is, Vic, because they're in areas like, I have some relatives, I'm not saying which ones they're in that. If you're just outside the major metropolitan area or in the more rural area, you basically, your option is the cell phones, which have ridiculous bandwidth usage caps, satellite, which has lag, or dial-up, which you have a phone which will work. So it depending on the type of stuff you're doing, in some cases, using the dial-up over something like this Hughes satellite thing or something is actually preferable, even though it's slow, because of the lag you would get with the satellite system, right? Because of the technology.
Yeah, I can't get satellite where I am. They said it's unavailable.
Everybody can get satellite.
Not me.
What, do you have seas having a southern or western obstruction?
They just said that it's unattainable where I live at.
So you have trees or some power or something to the south or west of you.
I guess. I don't know. I talked to all. I talked to.
Well, you should know if you go outside your place and you see something in your line of sight to the south or the west. that's tall and big and structurally.
All I know is that they said that my area was unattainable when we asked about the putting satellite here, and satellite internet, and they said it was impossible. They could put satellite cable here, but not satellite internet.
Somebody was John. It was Jones and you, or something.
What I don't understand is this cloud drive shit is like old stuff. I mean, we were doing this shit in the '90s. What I'm not understanding about tech today is it's like everybody just woke up all of a sudden.
No. I know exactly what this shit is, but you want to know the technology that people are going to be trying to give away or sell to consumers. Look at the technology of 10 years ago. I mean, think about it. We had TiVo technology, for all intents and purposes, about a decade before TiVo started coming out. And then we started selling that technology to consumer because the technology had become old enough and developed enough and enough people had worked on it that you could make grandma can push the big shiny TiVo button solution. And that really is what these cloud drive solutions are today. Oh, we have enough bandwidth, server technology, drives and stuff, have storage has gotten cheap enough, bandwidth's gotten cheap enough, and UI that makes it point and click.
Well, back then, using this cloud stuff was next to impossible when they tried to initiate it. Most people were on 56K modems, and it was like...
Look, bandwidth and hardware, but...
Make good use of it.
I always had, like, a cloud drive. You know, I've always had a network, or I always call it network backup, but an internet backup.
Always had network drive since 90... what?
I mean, it's insane to me. It's just like, I don't know, it's all this... I was like, what are you people talking about? This is not new. It's just like... No, it's like everybody just got out of bed and...
It's just stuff becoming consumerized. There really is. It's developed.
So basically,
Mr. Bit's kind of right when he says that it's not new. We've had it before. It's just we didn't have the bandwidth to give it to so many users back then.
I guarantee you, about 10, 20 years from now, when we finally get a last-mile network or equivalent built out in the United States, and you can have a megabit connection to your local home, there's going to be a crap load of stuff that we do in office complexes and our local networks and that geek and more technically inclined people are doing today. And they're going to start to consumerize because the primary limitation of why you don't do it now is not software, it's not hardware, it's bandwidth limitation. And
data caps,
data caps and bandwidth limitation. As soon as we get those two things straightened out for about 50%,
it's gonna at least take us 20 years to get that straightened out.
Yeah, that's why I said 10 upwards of 20 years, because it's got to get straightened out for at least the 50% of the United States. That's the major metropolitan areas before you can really start rolling out things like that. But and right now, really, the only place you can do that, and I laugh at the companies that are trying to do this right now. There is a last-mile network over there and them there, Silicon Valley. They got them their internet over there. But I see these companies that are trying to roll out services that are designed for that type of infrastructure because they happen to be out there. I'm like, you guys are smoking crack. I realize you live in the gold-plated bandwidth aisles, but the rest of the country ain't going to be able to use your freaking service. Your little startup ain't going to be anything other than it's going to fail in 6 months.
Well, what I really hate was that my mom had this one friend who wanted us to hook up his Apple TV to a 56K modem. And they were like, no, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Well, have you ever tried networking computers over a 56K connection? Oh, dear Lord.
You know, I was an idiot, apparently. And he's like, oh, I got a bum device, then Apple screwed me. He's like, no, dude, you screwed yourself.
No, it depends where they're living. I don't know. There are places where
that's
the best
way to go. No, he has no high-speed internet. No DSL net, either. All he has is 56K.
Well, like I said, depending where he is, if it's an option, unbeknownst to millions of people, there are thousands of places in the United States where you can't get DSL or broadband.
And there are even some places that are known as dead spots where satellite just can't go.
Yeah, you know, I want GPS coordinates when we're off the air. Okay.
But, yeah, it's just these people are just trying to go in areas that they can't, and it's just not going to be there for the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, well, it'll come.
Maybe longer.
It'll come. The one thing the technology has convinced me of, and it's always convinced me of, is eventually the pieces line up. Between Moore's Law and other things, it happens. Give it time. Anyways, Bit, you put a... What the... You know, this bugs me when you do this. I'm like, okay, there's a story, but I don't know what it is.
Well, what I was going to get, you know, see, I've had a... I mean, we're talking about the cloud. You know, people forget about iTools, which I've been a long Apple user, and that was what... When did iTools start? I want to say 2000 or something like that. And it was free back then, right? And now with iCloud, it's kind of all hunky-dory. You know, iDisk is gone. But isn't the storage like... Does the whole iCloud thing is syncing of documents and certain amounts of content. But I think you can pay, right? For just like a drive or
well, cloud computing is really getting...
No, it's not cloud computing, cloud storage. I mean, it's just, I think you get 5 gigs, right? Is that...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's right. Okay. So anyway, yeah, but Google, this drive, the good thing is it's not like Apple in the sense that, you get, it's just locked in with the Apple universe.
But you pay for it, and it's 10-year-old technology.
Yeah.
The Rusty, the one thing you won't like is it doesn't natively support Linux.
No, I'm not surprised. Google's been being weird lately.
Windows, Mac OS X, Android, iOS.
I bet you...
No. Google is really trying to pick a fight with Linux right now.
They just killed Picard. Well, okay.
No. It's hysterical because if you look at the thing, they're like, oh, yeah, Linux, what's that? Oh, no, but we support Android, which is Linux-based, and we support Chrome, which is Linux-based, and
right.
We support all the Google stuff that's built on top of Linux. But Linux, no, we've never heard of no Linux.
Well, let's go over your little conversation about Linux at the bottom here.
That the reason why cloud computing and downloading file direct download is so popular on smartphones over consoles and computers is because smartphones have satellites and they're always on the internet because they're basically cell phones.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to access this drive on my iCloud account, and. I can't do it. There is no, let's see here. So, see, like in MobileMe, I could log on from my Windows machine and then hit my iDisk.
A bit. Are you online like you're supposed to be?
No. I'm on Windows right now trying iCloud because on...
No. You're outside of the iWorld trying to...
So this storage then is not... Is not like iDisk then, basically. This is
No. You don't understand. You have to live in the iWorld. All things live in the iWorld. Don't you know this shit?
See, they automatically told me, because I'm a MobileMe subscriber, that they're automatically gonna give me 20 gigs. Right? Because I had like the whole family thing, but I haven't had the time to look into this, but honestly, but I know with my disk, I was able to, from anywhere on the web, because I would go to work and access things off my iDisk. And
that was pre iWorld. That was before post PC. We're post PC. We're iWorld, bit.
Okay.
All things are Apple. Didn't you know this?
Post PC. At least the.
So is this just for photos? I mean, I don't get it. It's like, okay, I'm reading here. It says iTunes content doesn't count to your limit, right?
I guess.
Oh dear. Well, I think that sucks.
Dude, it sounds like Comcast and Xfinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't it just sound like that?
I think it's a little pissy, but anyway. You're not going to go in your comments for the Linux thing down there. You have this whole thing where just, I guess he's a.
You know what? Just click the thread with the links to the actual.
Well, I kind of dismissed it when with the whole statement where it says, I hate to say, but Windows is stable and Linux effing sucks. Aren't you just pissed off with Linux crashing all the effing time? And I read that and I just dismissed the rest. I didn't think it would be something relevant.
Okay, Bit, you as well as I do know that the GUI crashing in Linux or a Unix system doesn't matter.
Even
you can restart the GUI.
Yeah.
Apple does the same thing. Because they're technically the same.
Actually, no, they're not. One's Unix, one's Linux.
Actually, so. The UI on when the UI fails in OS X, that's Cocoa. Failing, and no, there's no restarting of Cocoa. It's
yeah,
there's no restarting.
Operating system, the whole operating system fails.
No. Basically, what happens is like in Linux, if it fails, you can just restart GVM or KDE
or
yeah.
Or whatever.
And Linux and Linux doesn't have to be restarted. It can live compile or what do you call it?
In fact, you can even. I don't know if you can do this in OS X or not. I don't know how. In Linux, if you have it fail and drop back, I mean, you can even be running multiple instances at once.
But app-wise, you know, like if Netscape crashes on you, it doesn't freeze up the entire OS.
Oh well, that's not what they're talking about, though. You're just talking about one application failing. They're not talking about that. Bob was talking about. If the UI all of a sudden shuts down on...
You know how in Windows it freezes, you're screwed?
Mm.
Linux, it will drop you back to...
Worst case scenario, if you completely over-freaking load a Linux box and or crash it, it drops back to terminal. And you can tell it
well,
to
it
do
it, it drops back to command. Command prompt, yeah.
Whatever vocabulary you want to use.
Well, I mean, terminal. I don't want people to think, oh, all of a sudden, like in OS X, here comes like a terminal window. It's not. It doesn't look behavior.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, that's basically all you have. and honestly, the first command I teach the average person when they get to that point, you know what? Just type reboot. Because that way at least they're not hard booting and that's eventually they start asking well but how do I do that without rebooting we'll just type that and then they start to go oh you mean I can do that okay yes you can do that.
Are you guys talking about this iPhone sale?
Well yeah I was gonna go okay so we can go into Apple now
go to the bottom of the notes there's a thread there right under where it says Linux. It's a weird little conversation.
Weird, it's just dumb.
You know what? The way this ended, because it went on for a little bit longer, and the way it ended, I can't tell. I don't think the guy was just screwing with me. But the last comment was, careful, I may buy you a beer. After we had snapped at each other and went back and forth for a little bit. So I'm like,
At least it ended friendly.
Yeah. Well, this guy apparently has subscribed to us, so
that's good.
But it was just, you know, apparently, you know, the tone was you're a liar. if you say Linux is stable, you know, I don't like OS X, but I'll admit that it's stable.
I would say Linux is very stable. I mean, for crying out loud, I've got tons of servers, multiple clients that never really go down at all.
Yeah, I mean, what, this one computer here, it's not a server, it's just an end user system, but it's been running 24/7 for now 2.6 years. The only reason it hasn't been running longer is because we lost power for 8 hours one night. So my battery backups do not last that long. I'm sorry.
You know, that and my Mac Mini, the only reason why my Mac Mini would go out is also power loss. That thing stays on all the time. That little thing from 2006.
I mean, you can get that out of a Windows system, but it's not a typical behavior. I'm not going to say it's impossible to do with a Windows system.
I've never been able.
I did run a Windows system once for 16 months straight, but it got buggier the longer it ran.
Gee, what a surprise given the file system.
Yeah, you wind up with things that you can really only fix in a Windows system with the reboot.
All right, before we go into Apple, the fun thing I was going to get into before you were talking about the Google Drive was it's time for my wife to get another phone, right? So we're going to do Verizon.
Buy an iPhone 5.
No, we're going to Verizon, and so I'm looking at the Droid Razor for her. It's got to run Flash. That's a requirement for her. So what other recommendations do you guys have?
Guys are going Verizon, you said?
Yeah.
But how important is battery life? Length?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, to your wife. I know that's a selling point for some people. Battery life, if you're going with a Droid Razor, looking at the Droid Razor, check the Droid Razor Max. It's got a bigger battery.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Also, do you have a grandfather data plan on either one of those?
No, this would be a switch from AT&T to Verizon.
Yeah.
You can always go to Nikko and try one of the Windows phones, even though they don't have Flash.
Well, no, if I were to do that, she'd really get pissed. The whole thing is that her friends and everybody really make these cutesy, artsy, fartsy things that are all done in Flash, and when it doesn't work, she gets extremely mad. So,
yeah, honestly, of the options available, if she likes the thinness and she likes that stuff, yeah, the Droid Razor series is one of the ones that I definitely recommend looking at. It's a good phone.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's.
If she wants an extended battery life, go with the.
I don't think she'd just charge the damn thing. I mean, I don't know if she's. But Verizon is charging $299 for the Droid Razor Max. Holy crap!
Yeah, it's like
it's more money.
Yeah, what about all right? So what about the Droid Bionic or?
That was one of the first. I want to say that was. It's not a bad phone. I'm not sure how.
All right. What about the Droid X2? And
I wouldn't get the X2.
No, yeah, X2.
There's been a lot of update issues with the X2s.
And yeah. Supposedly Razer's going to get the ice cream. So they already did, right?
Yeah,
they already...
The other reason we're saying go with that one. It's their flagship one, so you know you're going to be good out there. The only other one I would really consider going with would be the Life's Good one, but even then I'd be a little.
I was going to say the only other one would probably be the Galaxy Nexus, maybe, but that depends on how pure of a Android experience she wants, I guess.
Yeah, that's
she doesn't know shit about the operating system. She barely knows how to operate iOS.
In his wife's case, that may not be a bad thing.
Well, she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't know much, and she's, she has a hard time even understanding how to delete email on iOS. You know, so.
Yeah, so a Samsung device might suit her. The Droids, the actual Droids stuff for Motorola usually tends to be more Google-ish.
Yeah.
In design, more utilitarian, but requires tweaking.
Hmm.
because right now I'm on a Samsung device. I went from the original Droid to a Samsung, and it's like a night and day difference.
In that regard. If she's used to the iOS-iness, a good transitional phone for her very well might be the Samsung.
The Galaxy Note? What are you talking about? The Samsung?
Any of that. Samsung has the, what they call, TouchWiz.
Yeah.
It's very iOS in a lot of its features and functions.
I see.
Yeah.
It'd be like recommending KDE to a Windows user coming to Linux in that regard.
Even though they're, in the end of the day, nothing alike, there's like that transitional familiarity.
Well, the only Samsung devices on Verizon that I see that I just selected are the Nexus, Illusion, Stratosphere,
Droid Charge.
Charge.
The Galaxy Tab would be the one. No, wait, that's the tablet. Never mind.
Yeah, they got Palm Pre for you a bit.
No. On the Samsung,
you know, the Palm Pre does run Flash, ironically, but
I know. I had a touchpad. I know. It runs it right out there well too.
Yeah.
At least on the touchpad.
It runs it well on the phone as well.
If she's not gonna freak out from the culture shock, I think your better one to go with is actually the Razer.
She doesn't understand. She's owned the iPhone for 2 years and. There, you could not make the argument that she's used to it or even knows it.
So. Okay, then
that's why I always tell people, you know, this whole shenanigan crap that iOS is so intuitive and all that is a bunch of diarrhea on the page.
Yeah,
it's
not.
The
only reason I would recommend going to Samsung One would be for that. If that is not the case with her, go the Razer.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
She. In the end, she'll be happier with it.
Yeah, so I'll probably just do that Droid Razer. It runs Flash well? That wasn't encouraging, Bob.
The same exception you'd expect on every device goes, what the fuck Flash? Where it's just bad Flash.
All right, if she gets like an email, because this is the important thing, okay? She gets an email that opens like one of these fart fluff bullshit. It's absolute waste of shit out there. That's she thinks is just cute as can be and makes little music and oh how wonderful that is.
Is she gonna care if it's a really bad written one? If it does a little more than it would do on a computer where it freezes and transitions, or it at times is not perfectly smooth.
Well, if you're telling me it's a bad SWF, it's a bad SWF, and so if it does that on her Mac and it does it on the phone, then that's easily explainable.
It would do it more on the phone than on her desktop because of the more limiting resources at this point.
So it seems like y'all are glossing over a problem. Yeah. Is the Razer good or not with Flash?
It just might run buggy.
I mean, because my Palm Pre 2 runs Flash. That's it. You know, it runs. So, I don't. There's like a lot of silence here. What?
Oh, I'm on the Verizon site, just looking. I'm a Verizon customer, so.
Yeah. I'm partly doing this because it's a corporate discount and all this other stuff, so yeah. AT&T is rather expensive now, let me tell you.
Well, luckily I'm grandfathered.
Yeah.
I'm grandfathered in, luckily, so.
I'm not going to go to Verizon until they offer a decent plan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and for those listening on the podcast and all that, the reason is Verizon is we have a corporate discount, which is pretty significant, and so we're going to stick with that. And I know there's probably a lot better offerings, maybe a Sprint or I don't know. Who else?
Well, no, honestly, Sprint, while they're having a more competitive offering, their network is not the most built out. So you're either in a Sprint area or you're not.
I guess I could go to YouTube and see Droid Razer playing Flash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's going to be like an optimal experience. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. Like, we were having a Linux conversation. I don't pretend Linux is perfect and doesn't have any bugs, and you can't ever make Linux have problems. Well, that's bullshit. Linux has plenty of problems. The same thing with a high-end Android device in Flash. It's, I'm sure there's still, even with all the optimizations and improvements that have been made in the last 18 months, I'm sure there's something on the net where it's going to lag. Because I know there's a shitload of bad Flash out there.
Well, I'm not worried about the bad Flash. I mean, this is stuff... Well, YouTube, when I say Droid Razor Flash, it's telling me how to Flash custom ROM. I mean...
No, you probably might want to put running Flash.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. You know, Google and its pickiness sometimes.
And you remember, we all know that Google has added AdWords to video now, which means, of course, you can find more paid, irrelevant search results on YouTube.
Kind of like Twitter now.
And you know what I'm talking about. You get the same thing in the paid ad. Like, you're like, this isn't even relevant.
Well, you know, my colleague at work owns an HTC Evo, and he says Flash plays rather well on it.
No, yeah, no, that's why we're saying the Razer. On the higher-end ones, I would say 90% plus the stuff you come across, fine. Right. Where you're having the big problem today is these little cheapy, like, $50 Android phones.
Oh, I got you. No, I think, you know, I hope she doesn't mind the size. That's my only question.
Yeah, because it's a 4x4.3, if I remember.
Yeah, does it have a great camera, and does it do, like, video and all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah, it does that.
HD video and all that good stuff?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
8 megapixels, records 720p on the front, 1080p.
She'll probably like that, because, you know, she likes to have the ability to take pictures of the kids and all this good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't like using it on the iPhone. You know, do you realize that?
The 4-inch thing, it's an either love it or hate it.
It's so funny. She hates taking movies and photos on the iPhone. And I actually defend the iPhone, and I thought it takes rather well pictures and video. Well, some of the video, I have a YouTube video where I took video, and people think I'm shaking it on purpose. And I wasn't. Sometimes you're holding the iPhone, and the video just starts shaking. But I've seen that happen on regular HD camcorders, and I don't know what if it's a software thing. It's not like not ready when you start moving or for stabilization.
You know, what it is basically modern cameras and things are doing autocorrect, and just the breathing and the beating of your heart in conjunction with other
variations
creates too much things like those. On those demo videos where they show, and all of this was filmed with an iPhone.
Right.
Stuff. Well, that's an iPhone mounted to a Steadicam mount. You know.
Yeah, because I I see a lot of waving on all kinds of phones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
my BlackBerry does rather well though.
On the Android device too. Yeah. If you want good, steady, clean yada yadas, you need one of two things. You need a Steadicam mount. Or you need to run it through something like Adobe After Effects, which uses this crazy smart math algorithm stuff to make it Steadicam effect by using key things in the frame to restabilize it. I'm sorry. And the type of processing power needed to do that on the fly just isn't in these devices yet. I'm sure it will come at some point, but that's at least 4 cycles, if not 6, down the road.
Okay, all right. So we'll just do that, and we can move on.
I'm not surprised that iPhones are selling so well.
Well, go ahead, Rick. Enlighten us. You said you're not surprised they're selling well.
Well, first of all, Microsoft is supporting them.
Well, what the hell does that have to do with like someone going into a shop and saying I want an iPhone?
No, it's just that, you know, Microsoft's got their apps all over in iOS now.
They're in Android, too.
That's the Microsoft business model. We will go everywhere. We will infiltrate.
All right. Well, let's go into Apple. All right. Good for Apple. Now they have $110.2 billion in cash in the bank. So that's good. The thing of it is...
Do they want a fucking cookie?
Yeah.
Cookie.
But it is.
I just do that since it's since their iPad was on the 4G network, and now that the iPhone 5 is going to be on the 4G network.
Is it confirmed the iPhone 5 will be LTE?
Okay. Officially, no. But let's look at the last three cycles of release from Apple. Technology we're going to put over here, over here. Technology we're going to put over here, over here. The iPhone and the iPad are the 0.5 cycle of each other.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, when you take them apart, they're all but using the same board. They're using the same development lines to develop each to develop the other.
Right.
So, yeah, unless they depart from what they have been doing the entire cycle of these devices.
Right.
It's gonna be.
Right.
Well, now, they have to, because they delayed their 4G network speed for God knows how long.
Hmm.
That's the one of the reasons why Apple ended up losing dominance in their sales, is because they wouldn't go 4G.
And, you know, doesn't that just show that basically the consumer will follow the fluff wherever it leads? Because, I mean, really, where in the country until recently could you really use your 4G phone? Oh, I stepped 2 feet to the right. Now I'm out of 4G. Oh.
Well, look, I've always argued Apple's experiencing being the iconic fashion statement right now. And so, that hey, that's a very, 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 very profitable place to be. While it lasts. Now the thing of it is I don't argue so much against the iPhone as I do with the iPad, predominantly because I just know so many people that have buyer's remorse with the iPad. Not so much with the iPhone. You know, people just they'll defend it with the games or whatever. But with the iPad, it tends to be that.
You know what? I'm doing a sociological experiment right now. I told you somebody I know bought an iPhone, mm-hmm. and you know they're having issues. Like, we can't call them, and they can't always call people, and their phone winds up stuck on modes they don't know about, so they don't get phone calls or don't find out about messages or stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how long they put up with this, because it's like they wanted the iPhone, and it's not, and like I said, well, you might be happy. They're like, no, I'm like, okay, so they got the iPhone.
Well,
and they've had the double bill. They've had the my phone won't work. They've had the dropped calls. They've had
the dropped calls.
It got stuck on vibrate. They didn't know how to turn it off. They've had the iPhone experience.
Well, I can give you one case study where somebody actually argued with me recently. This is, and I was waiting. I couldn't really announce it until, you know, because I want to be honest. So I have a friend of mine who argued with me about the iPad, and they said they were going to take it everywhere, use it in business meetings, and it went on and on, and no, I'm wrong, you know, I'm just, I'm an old fart, whatever, all this other crap.
Yes,
and I kept,
no,
like, and I kept arguing that, no, I love technology when it changes, when it moves us forward, not, like my favorite quote from our last show, not a net reduction backwards. So they went ahead and purchased it, right? And guess what it's doing? They're bitching about printing. It doesn't do this, and oh shit, you know, I'm just using my laptop more, and it stays at home, and I watch Netflix on it. So
what a surprise!
Yeah, I was like, okay, you spend $500 to watch Netflix. That's fantastic, you know,
rather it was meant to get the beta.
You know, and the thing of it is why did they get it? Because their friends had it. They thought it was cool. They didn't want to be left out. And you know what? That's so true. It's so true that people, when they see their friends having something, it's an exponential effect, i.e. what we call a fad, and they have to have it.
The snow is green, we're on the up.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm getting tired of hearing this, but anyways. We all know Xbox 360 sold a lot of consoles, not as much as the Wii, right?
I don't know. What? I don't know anything.
Yeah, it basically almost killed the PlayStation 3.
Right.
And back when those two consoles came out, the PlayStation 3 was, like, selling for shit, and the Xbox 360 was selling like hotcakes. And the first thing those customers got, Red Rings of Death, and they had to go send their consoles back.
Oh yeah, no, the first.
Go ahead. Wait. Let this others finish. Yeah. Go ahead. So okay, they got. Yeah.
They still said that they would vote their Xbox 360 over a PlayStation 3 back in those days because they all had new. If you look all over YouTube, you had to have an Xbox 360. Everybody had to have an Xbox.
Yeah, and if you got left out, and you know, that's like a psychological thing, I guess. Just you.
You know what? I must have a.
Well, yeah, I'm a natural contrarian. Yeah, sure. So.
You know what? I was okay with not being the cool kid. I really was. I didn't care.
Well, but, okay, let's get back to the Apple numbers so we can wrap it up on this. All right. So basically, the iPhone didn't do as well in the United States, speaking. All right. So we know that they sold 7.8 million. iPhones in the U.S. from the two major carriers. I'm going to add another million from Sprint because Sprint last quarter sold 1.8. If I'm to follow the same trend of both major carriers losing, we'll just take the 1.8 and put 1 million. So they pushed 8.4, 8.7 million iPhones. So we have 27 somewhere around there, million iPhones. Okay, they move in China. Now, they're quarter to quarter, they're at a 2 million net negative because they sold 37 million last quarter. So at 35 million. And I'm not speaking, everybody listen on the podcast, I am a Mac fanboy. I just don't like iOS. But the thing of it is I don't also like the Apple pundits, nor do I like the people that say, okay, Apple's going to go down the shitter. I'm not saying the Apple's going down the shitter, but I think I don't like what iOS is doing as far as technology is speaking, okay? Now, because I believe that we should move the user to technology, not the other way around. But I think, oh, I was saying...
Dumb them down!
Right.
Dumb them
the,
down!
The thing that I was arguing is that I think we can expect some sort of plateau. It doesn't mean that Apple's going to go to oblivion. I'm not arguing that. I would hate to see that. As a matter of fact, let me just put a hypothetical. If this were all for Mac sales, I would be an ecstatic person. But it's not. It's iOS, and unfortunately, I having owned three iPhones, I can't stand the damn operating system. But everybody knows that who listens to me.
When do we think the Macs are going to start being discontinued?
They're not. They grew. They grew year over year. They grew, and I was happy to see that. So we have 4 million Macs sold, which is year-on-year larger than the 3.7 million that they did a year ago. So I'm happy that the Macs are doing well. Now, Tim Cook was saying in China that they're moving more Macs via the halo effect, which is a good thing. Now, China, and I, let me just put it this way, I have very close contacts that have family in China. So I know how, I have a pretty good inside line on how, what to expect from the Chinese economy. Now, they sold, and Tim Cook was heavy on China. Now, Android is by far the number one cell phone over there by, I think, 68-69% market share and a smartphones. Not everybody owns a smartphone, of course, in the Chinese economy, you know, affordability and all this other crap. And it's not necessarily the cheap Android phones. So don't come at me, oh, it's because of the cheap Android phones. The iPhone does well because it essentially, as a premium phone, is also cheaper than many Android phones because of the whole subsidy war problem. Now, getting back to China, so if we were to say that a good 20 million, I don't know how many Europe purchase because they don't give us sales by region, so I don't know how many we can estimate reasonably that came from China. But Tim Cook seemed to have focused on China a lot, and he says it's the second largest market. So
correct me if I'm wrong because your information is probably a lot more accurate than mine, but the thing with the China market is you have China and then you have China.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at this.
Very urbanized.
Right.
These are our consumers for our product.
China, so,
and then there's the rest.
Right. Basically, what I know from, which is what I get from my contacts is that 2%, 2 or 3% maybe max going just under 5% are like this wealthy generation that will have enough capital to keep buying iPhone generation, like we have the Apple loyalists who own 3 iPads and all the damned iPhones and all this other stuff. They're the reoccurring customer. Now,
that is still more people than before.
I know. That is about 20 or 30 million, to be honest with you. That's around that 20, 30 million mark of people. Now, the thing of it is how much of that is Android and how much of it is the iPhone? Because I have been scrambling trying to figure out, because we can't get the damn numbers from regions. We know I'm not going to say all 27 million came from China. That would be absurd. So I'd split that number in half just to be reasonable on that. So what we can expect maybe around 13 point something million coming from China, which would sound reasonable, I guess. And then the rest comes from India and Europe and Japan.
Going on in China for market share that we have going on here.
Well, what I'm looking at is for saturation point, right? For the iPhone, because what I know, I'm not crazy listening to the other people that bitch about their Apple devices. Okay, so if that's happening here, you know, there is a mathematical equation to things that you can use for projections. And so what I'm after is, okay, the iPhone is what? Are we saturating the United States? Or are we going to wait till the iPhone 5 and the sales go back up? I don't know.
But the thing of it is that I know of a lot of unhappy... Even if the iPhone sells great, which I'm sure it will, I'm sure the iPhone 5 will sell great, I would argue that largely the iPhone is all but at saturation in the United States and is going to begin its decline, but it's going to be seen very gradually. And I say that because of the type of consumer that is buying the iPhone is the every 18 months, I'm going to go buy the new iPhone. And, 18 months to 2 years, which means it's the same demographic repeating itself, but I would argue it's largely at saturation. It maybe has a little bit of growth left in it, but
I'm seeing that Android picks up iPhone users and reversed, and Windows Phone, even some of the newer growth in the Windows Phone, which is not much, let's be honest, but they're still former smartphone users. And it seems to be that there is a certain extent where the smartphone market can expand.
We cannot even weigh the Windows effect yet, and I say that. I look at Phone 7 as a beta for Microsoft's bid on that market.
Mm-hmm.
We will find out the Microsoft effect on that particular market when the Windows 8 unified push begins, because that is when their actual offering will be on the market.
Right. Now, so let's go back and I'll wrap this up real quick. Now, a lot of the Apple pundits come out and say, let's screw the analysts that gave their estimates. The thing of it is that if those analysts had given estimates and blah, 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 and they were like to say against Microsoft or Android, the Apple pundits would be the first to say, oh, look, look, look. And the thing of it is that these analysts are, a lot of them are on the spot, and the analyst projections given are on average. So that means there are those that are on the high end and then those on the low end, and they take an average. So the iPads missed their mark, and so did the Macs miss their mark, sadly. But I still say that the iPads year over year sold more, and so did the Macs sell year over year. But the analysts, why do they project that? Because they're basing it on trends and growth. So what does that mean based upon estimates? Okay, so the growth is flattening from that point. So while yes, Apple's made a tremendous amount of money in international markets on the iPhone represents their single largest revenue maker, and probably far easier in terms of profits until the subsidy war gets settled here in the United States. Now I hear that there are subsidy issues in China as well. So you know, that remains to be seen. But I still maintain my argument of this plateauing, at least in the U.S. market. I cannot predict outside. No one can, really. I mean, how cultures are vastly different so elsewhere.
Apple is plateauing into a market that's unsustainable, and they're going to use that as an excuse to kill the Mac. Cool.
Shut up. They're not going to kill the Mac. You know, you know what? Can I put it in this context? Wait, can I put it in this context? Much of like what the iPad.
Did Apple was selling more Macs than ever before?
Yeah, year on year. But as far as the trend of growth, it's not. I mean, they didn't sell that many more, to be honest with you. For instance, I'll be honest, like in other quarters, they sold more than 4 million Macs, and then it went down to 3.78 million in Q2 last year. And so they made 4 million this Q2, but they've sold more, and I think it was, I don't remember which quarter it was, 11. So somewhere,
on that note,
Apple's biggest mistake is that they're mainly just like they don't have very many games like Windows does. I mean,
no, it's not just that. One of two things is going to happen here with the Mac market, and then we'll wrap Apple up and move on with anything else. But basically, Apple's in the position now where they have kind of plateaued their Mac market, and they can do one of two things. They can continue to do what they've been doing, or they can go, you know what? Mac's not really a big profitable thing anymore. The consumer wants appliance devices, so we're just going to kind of become an appliance company, in which case they will start abandoning and tailing off.
Okay, I don't want to listen to like the Mac demise.
One scenario.
Why do you want to argue a Mac demise?
The scenario is they're going to try and maximize revenue on the Mac line, which means they will make them cheaper, crappier, and basically turn them into, they'll still be a computer, but they'll be very much an appliance device. Instead of designed to be coveted, they'll be designed to be thrown away, like the iPhone and iPad.
Man, you just want, I think Rusty's waiting for the day that I'm like completely Apple-less. I think that's what you're aiming at, because the single thing that holds me to Apple is the Mac for now. And, but I will tell you right now,
what the company is, and what the bottom dollar is going to dictate for.
You just don't want me to defend Apple anymore. And the thing of it is I'm going to give you another front. If Apple comes up with their TV, if their TV has a built-in tuner that I can record like TiVo and all that crap like my little Mac Mini does, then you're going to have two fronts to debate me on. I'm just gonna tell you right damn now. I'm letting you know.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
Well, it may not happen. I don't know.
All I'm gonna say on the TV bit for Apple is they cannot any way in hell charge the premium they do on a computer.
I don't think they will. No.
If it was anyone other than Apple, Bob, I'd agree with you. But it's
Apple
lemmings do whatever they want.
No. Apple did come up with a gaming console called the Apple Pippin.
We know, I know.
It was at $600.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was different. That
okay.
Was for the new
Well, all right, so.
No, it's pretty much the same thing.
But anyway.
Nobody buys a gaming console past $600.
All right, I'll say this.
Put PlayStation 3.
I'll say this. Beyond whatever, Apple is seeming to make devices that people want rather than need. You know, Windows, for all the shit that we hated them for, pretty much made within business things we needed rather than wanted. Now, if Apple loses the fashion statement, what is there left to need in their product line? And if they abandon the Mac, and I think that's just, you know, they'll still have a following, but of course they're going to be marginalized in the end, and the fashion statement doesn't hold. So okay, so they still make money, they can still survive, but luxury items tend to be very extreme in their ups and downs. I'm just telling you that. And the iPad, and we can get in the tablet section real quick, which is more of our, because Rusty and I had fun. I don't know if you guys, you haven't published those shows. Well, I don't know.
That way, they would really take over.
Well, here's the other caveat to it. Do you realize that Apple's created another a legacy problem similar to Microsoft? They have so many, and I don't care. You can flame me, El Cheapo developers that basically make these turnkey things that are rapid. And
are you telling me that you don't need the code is biting Apple in the butt just like it?
Yes.
Bought the web?
When they want to change, when they want to change their platform, because believe me, if tablets are really to be taken seriously to like move forward in technology, they're going to have to add all the complexities back in there. And I can guarantee you all these El Cheapo turnkey people are not going to be interested in keeping up. And that's going to cause a legacy issue with Apple. I'm just telling you right damn now.
They're already not interested in keeping up. One of the biggest complaints about the iPad 3 is because of its higher resolution and the El Cheapo developers that are not optimizing their things for this higher resolution. That basically, I mean, all my apps...
Yeah, so it basically shrinks your apps that are usable in essence. I mean, and this is going to be a problem. And it's fine for people that say want to argue and say, look how many people have been able to make money. That's true. But at the expense of technology, and you, being the Apple user of old, used to argue against Microsoft for the same shit.
Honestly, Ben, those type of developers on which they built that house of cards, they don't give a shit at all about that problem. They're like, I already got my money. Why do I care?
Right. So.
I got my money. I got my bird money. I've licensed my birdies. They're doing good. They're making money for me. I have them in the spacesuits now. We is good.
Yeah.
We got a bird money.
Why isn't we talking about Facebook buying Infogram?
Oh, I don't care about
it.
Jesus.
I haven't done my research on it yet.
But, all right, so I'll move.
$6 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I'll move to the tablets.
Okay, what's left, and can we cover it in...
Quick, yeah. Well, last show, if you ever published it on YouTube, Rusty and I had a fun time.
I'm trying to avoid going too damn long, because if we go much longer, this ain't gonna be up before the cracker cast.
Well, the tablet remorse, Rusty, we went over some great quotes. I wish you'd publish that. Well, this first article from Ars Technica, we don't have to open it. I'll just say real quick. This is a guy saying, "Oh, I can use that as a sysadmin tool for real." Just go use your phone. You don't need to buy a $500 device to do that. All right. I mean, my thing is, you don't have to buy a $500 device to be a sysadmin tool if you're going to do it on your iPhone. To me, that's an oxymoron article from Ars Technica saying that the title is for today's IT professional, the iPad is an addition, not a replacement. No, there's no addition at a $500 level when you can already do the damn thing on the iPhone. Now, the rest are basically tablet remorse, which I thought some of the headlines were funny that we went over before. There was like, why I will never buy another tablet. Let me read this first article. And basically the one sentence from it is just fantastic. He goes, my brother was showing off his new iPad 2 the other day. He was most impressed with his latest purchase. And it is easy to see why. It was the first time I had been given the opportunity to play with the latest version of Apple's revolutionary device. And I give Apple full credit for transforming computers from dorky, esoteric devices into something cool and fashionable. And then 5 minutes later, I was over it. I mean, that was just, I love how that, so true to so many people that I know. And anyway, that's from a guy named Matt's blog on there. And then we had some really meaty stuff on Tuesday's show. It was so fantastic. 4 reasons why I don't care about the iPad 3 or any other tablets.
Is it this for today's IT professional?
Yeah, that was that's an oxymoron thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's other these 4 reasons.
I just want to make sure I put the right link in the show notes when this gets up.
I'm just going by, and then Phone Dog. This is so true, and my wife is one of these. The more I web browse with a tablet, the more I hate it. Well, I will tell this user, buy a playbook or a touchpad, and you won't have that problem.
Well, no. It's a combination of 3 things. It's a combination of the device, but the device is actually not the big thing. The biggest problem right now with these slate devices is that... God damn it. Who the hell set off their shit?
What? And then the other one is from a Windows 7 forum. It says, Windows 7, I hate tablet computers.
The biggest problem
with
these slave devices right now is that basically designers are not doing what they need to optimize for things. And this is the number one fight I get in with all web
designers. Yeah, but why should we, Rusty? The tablets are eventually going to become a desktop-like browser experience.
It already is a desktop-like browser experience in many ways, but it's a smaller form.
Wait. I understand.
Wait.
What?
My brother, my brother came and said that, look, these tablets are going to take over the desktops. And I said, okay, program me the next Call of Duty games with all the same features of multiplayer that is on all the current Call of Duty games.
What did Rusty just say? What is going on? I'm hearing car alarms and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody set off the car alarm.
But I basically said, okay, bro, program me a video first-person shooting game with all the same features of all that and all the other multiplayer first-person shooters, and see if you can. When you can do that on a tablet, then I'll say tablets replace PCs.
Mm. All right. Here, I also wanted to read some. I posted this as a comment on Crackberry, and I also sent it to Rim, and I got responses from both, which is my take like on this whole tablet thing. And I'll read it real quick. I said, I got the playbook for a few reasons. It is the only tablet that has an OS going somewhere to actually allow a need. I stress it again, a need to have as a real replacement for a laptop and etc. It, along with webOS, are the only tablets that understand touch and how to multitask and not automatically shut down an important app for the sake of simplicity when another app is launched. The playbook also works well with the keyboard and gestures if employed because of the way you navigate the system. Also, its size. The size is perfect. Never make something the size of the iPad. So many get excited about the iPad and argue it's more mobile, mind you, before they actually own one. And when they finally do, it sits at home and assists them with TV or Netflix or a game console or nothing at all. If everyone keeps looking at tablets through the Apple lens, it will only lead to the product's demise. The iPad versus the real tablets of yesterday is that it is riding a wave better known as a fad. Before anyone gets their undies in a twist, a fad is a very profitable place to be while it lasts. Countless iPad owners say the same. They get it for Christmas, or get one because everyone else has one, or it is simply cool. There are a few exceptions, a few, mind you. So Rim, take us to the next level. Use the power of QNX and make the playbook a need to have device, not a fashion statement. I see so many spending so much time and capital on things that are driven by the that's so 5 minute ago demographic. There is no post PC. The current crop. Man, I just lost the damn scroll thing. The current crop of tablets have a lot of maturing to do and will eventually become a device comparable to a desktop laptop. But by that time, the iPads and others as you know them will be radically different devices serving a different demographic. And the rest of the uses, as for Netflix and gaming consoles, will be fragmented to their own niches. Meanwhile, all I hear is, well, tablets will be the future, blah, blah. The form factor may carry, but again, it will serve a very different purpose, adding all the complexities back into it and making use of productive human input. The question then becomes for those that like to make the argument about the future. How many sets of $500 does one need to spend waiting for the future? In the meantime, Rim, make my investment in the playbook count. So far, OS 2 is a big improvement, and I love the communication between the playbook and my BlackBerry. So
we'll see. I know it's going to come, but it's not there yet. And really, how many cycles it's going to take to get there is going to depend on one. I told you, you know, really, either the industry grows up or some little upstart's going to make the
yeah,
industry.
Exactly.
One, things are going to happen.
But this is my sentence right here. The question then becomes for those that like the argument of the future, How many sets of $500 does one need to spend waiting for the future? That's targeted at all the Apple idiots.
The future will be here when we decide the future is here. Yeah. Either one, and I don't know which one, it could be any one of them, either one of the current players in this arena is going to go, this is stupid, we are going to build a device you can actually, you actually can, want to, and will work on. Or somebody who wants that device, who's like, Apple's failed me, BlackBerry, they had promise, but they failed me, WebOS, and promise, but it failed me, Google has so fucking failed me, you know what, fuck it. You want to do an upstart? You want to do a startup? Okay, let's fucking make the device that he should have fucking been in the first place. Somebody will just get so fed up and do it if the industry doesn't.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, for the podcast, let me go over some of the articles so you guys can hear. The Tablet Remorse, you can go to Windows 7 forums. Just the title is Windows 7, I Hate Tablet Computers, Am I the Only One? The other one is from phonedog.com, and its title is The More I Web Browse with a Tablet, The More I Hate It. The other one is makeuseof.com. The title is 4 Reasons I Don't Care About the iPad 3 or Any Other Tablet. And the blog, I guess the blog was from Matthew Casperson, blogspot.com, why I will never buy another tablet. So those are the remorse deals. For the thing I just wrote about to Rim, I did a private email to Rim, and I also posted that on crackberry.com because there was a whole, I'll give some history to it. The other day, the Rim's gaming executive posted on Twitter and says, okay guys, charge your playbooks and get a good night's sleep because tomorrow is so exciting and all sorts of crap. Well, most of us predicted Angry Birds Space would be released for the playbook, and sure enough it was. So I decided to post the email on the Crackberry page regarding the very game that just gets under my skin. I mean, it's fine, whatever, but I use it as a stereotype for the type of the So 5 minutes Ago crowd that make the iPad and everything iOS so popular, and decided to post it there, and actually got one good comment from it saying that they said, too long, but I did read. Thanks. It's good to see a smart post in the middle of all this bashing. So I thought that was cool. Somebody actually read it, responded. Somebody got educated. Anyway, so I will leave that at that.
And on that note, we're going to tail off.
I'm going to pause. Do you want me to shut down the podcast and go, and we go into like bullshit fun or what?
For the podcast.
What?
Attention to the show notes.
All right. So what we're going to do on the podcast, those, if Bob gets this up before Saturday the 28th, you will be treated to, we'll get some history. A very, very good friend of mine, I'll just say his first, Brandon, and I, he came over and I just went on Ustream on my MrBit10. You'll find it on Ustream. And I don't know, we just started drinking, and I did regular webcasts back in that day. This is a couple years ago. And so I just started drinking a lot. Brandon started drinking a lot, and I just went off and started grabbing like my little Apple products and would impersonate Apple fanboys and things like that, and Windows stuff, and started doing insane impersonations.
Yes.
And
you have to channel Mr. Fett.
Yeah, I did all kinds of stuff. It was all in good fun. It was all in good fun because I'm very much a Mac fanboy, and I would bring all my nothing iOS at the time, but I did have my iPhones. I had like the boxes of Final Cut Studio and my Logic Pro because they were nice and shiny. I was like channeling the Mac fanboy that was excited about the stickers and shit like that. So I was doing I was doing all kinds of crazy shit. And so that's how it turned out. We just call it CrackerCast. So this Saturday, which is going to be the 28th at, I guess, 11 p.m. Eastern. Or should we just start at 10 p.m. Eastern?
At
10-ish. 10-ish Eastern on MrBit10 at Ustream.
We may have
Leo joining us and whoever else you can round up.
Right. And
Leo is somebody who's used to be a co-host on the show that sucks, has been wanting to join us back for a little bit now, but we've been having the endless schedule conflicts. He's probably going to be available Saturday, so we're hoping he can join for the Cracker Cast.
Basically, you're going to get you're going to get treated to me being wasted and the new introductions like with Rusty. I don't know if Bob's going to join in. Maybe this will chime in. This was there for the last Cracker Cast. I remember talking to this idea. Yeah, you remember that, right? This. Yeah, I think I was talking I was in the politics side when this was there, and I was actually we were discussing stuff this, and I was answering some of the things he had if I recall correctly. Anyway, you're gonna be treated to just people getting wasted and live on webcam and just talking. Tech and
some geeks get drunk.
All kinds of crap.
How much idiots be idiots?
So that's it, yeah. Really. All right, so do you want me to close down the podcast?
No, hang on. Don't stop the recording.
Okay.
I have to record our sponsor. This episode was brought to you by the love of pigs in space.
Better than birds in space.
Exactly.
Oh, God. All right.
That's what I think of.
All right.
I guess I shouldn't say that Angry Birds in Space got over 10 million downloads.
I know.
Hey, it just may be that iOS becomes the teenage thing to have, I guess. I don't know.
I can see it now. iOS 10, better than the Wii.
That's why the iOS is pretty much following Windows 8.
Following Windows 8?
Okay.
All right. So do I end the podcast now?
Yeah, and I'm going to stop the recording now.